Romans chapter 8. It's even expensive to die. Your family got to go through stuff. God took me right back to we, and I'm not finished with this yet. I'm going to finish it today, get better.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray, God, just give us this word. Amen. Let it be a rhema word for us.
Yes.
Oh, Father God, right now, we pray and I give you a text. Oh, Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Father God, we don't know what you're trying to say to us. But Father God, we ask you to allow this dream of word to be fit for our circumstance and situation. Bless our ears right now. Father God, let us sit at the table as you feed us. Let us put down all the obstacles and set them aside. Make this word plain enough so the child can understand it. Draw back the dreams of misunderstanding. Father God, let your word go forward with power and with might. Father God, allow me to administer, expound upon your word, just like you told me to, with power and with mind. Anoint your word, Father God. Anoint every mind and seat in the place. Father God, just bless us like you've done in the past. However you bless us, we'll be satisfied.
Yes, Lord.
Set your people free. Deliver us. Speak to our hearts, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And whatever the copies in this setting, we'd be so careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. Speak, Lord, for your people. Hear it. Turn the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning at the 26th verse. Romans chapter 8, 26th verse. Are you with me?
Yes.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. That's God that searches the heart.
Yes.
He knows the mind of the Spirit. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That lets me know that anybody can pray if they want to. But you ain't a saint,
yes, sir,
you ain't getting through. So all them devils that's praying against y'all, say he's going to pray about you, and they really ain't no child of God, they don't like you, tell them devils keep praying. And we know, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I'd like to finish this topic and put a tag on it for you today. Behind the mask.
All right.
You may seek your seats in the presence of the Lord. Behind the mask. New Jerusalem, we wear masks that grins and lies. It hides our cheeks and shades our eyes. This debt we pay to human God. With torn and bleeding hearts, we smile. This poetic brilliance from the pen and pondering of Paul Laurence Dunbar speaks to the reality that for many of us who are a public success, but behind the scenes, we are a private mess. I know y'all heard before. In a real sense, Dunbar is declaring that on the outside, you can appear to be one way, but on the inside, you are another way. Dunbar, my sister and brother, is poetically portraying the plight of a people who on the outside appear to be making it, but on the inside, they are faking it.
All
right. We wear the mask that hides our cheeks and shades our eyes. This debt we pay the human God. With torn and bleeding hearts, we smile. Don't miss that luminous line when Dunbar declares, with torn and bleeding hearts, we smile. Be careful about judging people based on what you see on the outside. Because you don't know the hell, hurt, and heartbreak they're experiencing on the inside. Of course, we realize that Dunbar is writing this as one of the drum majors for justice of the beginning of the last century. Black people were catching hell, still catching hell. Under the tyranny of or lynching and oppression, of course, we can identify. But in case you don't identify, let's try my girl Lauren Hill. She raps it like this. When she said, black rage is founded on blatant denial, squeezed economics of a system survival, deafening silence and social control. Black rage is founded of wounds on the soul. Can I get a witness in here?
Okay.
In a real sense, what she's saying with Dunbar is oppression has a way of wounding your soul,
yes,
marking your mind and scarring your spirit.
Mm.
I don't know who I'm preaching to, but if you will be honest with yourself, when people look at you, they see your mask. They don't know what is behind your mask.
Amen.
That's where I want to hang out this morning. What is behind your mask?
Amen.
I know you got a church mask on right now. In the church mask, you have to look like you have the joy of the Lord as your strength. I get that, but behind the mask of joy, there may be scars and wounds. In a real sense, that reflect the hell that you have been through. And are going through. What's behind your mask? You need to ask yourself it. I ain't done yet. I'm talking to someone because if you are honest with yourself, when you go to work tomorrow, there's a work mask.
Amen.
You have to put on to ensure you stay employed. And you get the raise, promotion, and you are handling your business professionally. You have to wear a mask. And I know I go to work and don't want to be there sometimes. The reason I ask is if you're not careful, you will spend your whole life wearing what other people want to see in order to please them. You better be careful trying to live your life, trying to please other people. Be careful trying to spend your life, trying to compete with other people. Pastor said this time and time again, y'all must not begin it because God keep telling me to say to y'all.
Well.
It is my personal thing, Dick Atlanta. I made up my mind.
Okay.
The only person I'm trying to compete with is the person I was yesterday.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Not you, Dick Atlanta. I talked to you yesterday about how tall you are, and I wish I was tall. But I really don't care how tall you are. Amen. I'm happy with my short little self.
All right. All right, man. That'll work. That'll work.
Yes, sir. You better be careful trying your life, trying to please other people.
Amen.
The only person I said I'm trying to please is like who I was yesterday.
Amen.
The only person I'm trying to please is the God who woke me up this morning.
Glory.
Listen, if you did not die for me, if you did not give me fresh mercy today, and woke me up this morning,
yes, sir.
Died on the cross, yes, walked on some water.
Yes, yes.
I really don't care what you think about me.
Amen.
I'm being very nice because you don't like it, but I really don't care. Because if you did not save my soul, you don't open any doors no one can shut for me.
Yes, sir.
I'm only trying to hear God say, well done.
Yes, sir.
The only way God is going to say well done is if I do well.
Yes, sir.
God is talking to someone here today. You came to New Jerusalem because you thought you were going to get a nice first Sunday message.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Let me inform you, in case you did not know, you should know by now, we in this church, we're not trying to be the church usual.
Yes,
we're trying to be the church unusual.
All right.
This is the church where the power, God's word is powerful.
Yes.
And our worship is passionate. Let's keep it 100, y'all.
Yes, sir.
You have a mask on, but behind the mask, there are scars. There are unresolved wounds. There are unhealed cuts as a consequence of those unhealed wounds. If you're not careful, you will quit. You can't even finish your job because of the wounds behind your mask. Y'all look like, can I get a break that further?
Help us, preacher.
You got a mask. Okay, let's go here. My least liked holiday, Halloween. I remember one time in Halloween, here we go, I was learning to ride a bike. My uncle would teach me to ride a bike. He pushed me off without the training wheels. Of course, he was tough, and I couldn't cry about nothing. I had to act like I knew I was getting it. But I was riding and standing, Deacon Leonard. But I could not figure out how to make that thing break. Put it on brakes. So what I did, I saw some bushes. And I used them bushes as my brakes. The bushes were successful in stopping the bike.
Yes, sir.
But it did not stop me. Because I flipped over the bike and went over the bushes and landed on the pavement on the other side. I had some cuts and bruises that I suffered that day.
Yes, sir.
Before I had to put on my Batman suit.
All right.
Now, I know some of y'all too young to know about the Caped Crusader.
Yes, sir.
Y'all don't know who Batman is, but yeah, I had a Batman suit, Orlando. Oh, yeah. When I put that thing on,
yeah.
Watch me now. Watch me. I'm throwing some over there. When I put on that suit, the scars that I had got.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Before I put on the suit, began to get irritated. Drawing some fresh blood. Because I was trying to fit myself into the Batman suit.
All right.
With the cuts and bruises.
Yes, sir.
I had to put on the suit so I'll get some treats and won't be tricked. But the longer I wore that suit that night,
yes, sir.
The more irritated the scars behind the mask.
All right, Pastor.
Yeah.
Point, yes, sir.
Yeah. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
The more I stayed in it that night so I can get some candy to please other people, those scars began to draw the fresh blood.
Yeah.
No one didn't figure out until the end of the night. That I had some stuff going on behind the wounds because some of those wounds, the blood from some of those wounds, was penetrating through the suit.
Yeah.
I think y'all got it. If you're not careful, your wounds behind your mask will make you quit. I know you came up here. Here this morning, some of us got storms going on in our life.
Yeah.
Feel like we're in a Category 5 hurricane.
Yeah.
We might not be in the middle of the storm, but it sure feel like we're in the middle of the storm because the outer bands of those storms are wrecking your life and turning your life upside down.
Yes, sir.
And so some of us so high tech, it seems like we can't even put our cell phone down in church. You reach for your cell phone instead of getting Jesus on the main line.
Wow.
But then again, I don't always hold that against you. Because when you reach for your cell phone, just like you reach for your phone, cell phone, you might not have realized that your phone been disconnected. You did not pay your bill. You thought you did. You did not pay your bill. That's right. Same thing with God. That's right. You put God aside and been using him as a crutch. He didn't say not to him this morning when he woke you up this morning. You got a job to go through, but you complain about going to the job. You got a little headache, and you can't come to church or Bible study. And guess what? Some of them from hospital with cancer. I wish they could come.
Yeah, amen.
What is your level of commitment? So you got to get Jesus on the line. But guess what? You find out that guess what? Somehow it seems like he's just not hearing you. You've been disconnected. But that's been your situation. You've been in this mess for a while. When you go through something for a while, you feel disconnected from God. Mm-hmm. You think God doesn't know what you're going through. Come on, y'all, don't play hold on me, because Amen. If you live long enough, I don't care how big your Bible is, I don't care how holy you think you are, there'll be moments in your prayer life where you feel like you can't get a prayer through.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I guess y'all can hold on for me. I know.
Amen.
Stuff start happening. Amen. You say, God, what's up in here? Mm-hmm. What's up in here, God?
Yes.
You identify probably with the character in Shakespeare's play who says, my words go up, but my thoughts remain below.
Well,
and words without thoughts never go to heaven.
Amen.
I'm going to hang out right there. I know about those melancholy moments. When you go through stuff, you think you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're just minding your business here, and hell seems to break loose.
Mm-hmm.
God, I've been paying my tithes. I've been faithful. I'm coming to Bible study. I've been even trying to make the Sunday school. Whatever pastor asked me to do, I'm trying to follow direction, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Why, God, why? Why, what's going on now?
Mm-hmm.
Minding my own business.
Yes, sir.
With my soul scarred and my heart broken, I tried to call on the name of God. But because he was what I was going on, because of what was going on inside of me, I could not feel a connection with God.
Uh-huh.
It's not that God is not hearing you.
Yes, sir.
It's not that he's disconnected. He's never disconnected.
Uh-huh.
He always knows where you are.
Hello.
Yes, but based on your circumstance and the vicissitudes and the complexity of what you're going through, it feels like you got no connection with him.
That's right.
And you want to say to God, see, some of us are so holy, holy, we can't talk to God. Because sometimes I say, God, what the hell's going on in here?
Oh, no. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Oh, y'all too holy to ask God a question.
Amen.
Come here, Job. Job said, the next time I see God, I'm gonna make him a hostile witness.
That's right.
I want to know why I got to go through what I've gone through. I've been doing what Job said. Y'all think y'all too? Come here, Jesus. In the garden of Gethsemane.
Right.
Jesus said, can this cup pass from me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's all right.
And Jesus wasn't done. On the cross. He said, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me?
Well,
y'all better than Jesus?
Hello,
you better know how to get Jesus on the main line and tell him what you want. You got to have a relationship so you can talk to. When you're in a relationship with a person, they ought to be able to accept you for when you down, out, and then you get your good point.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy. Yes, sir.
They ought to be loving you more when you down and out.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm in church, but behind my church mask, there are wounds and scars. And some days I can't get a connection with God. If that is you, let's hop right into the passage. Y'all gonna say, Pastor, not the book. Now I'm gonna finish it there for y'all.
Yes, sir.
We see the Gospel Globetrotter and great African theologian from Tarsus, the Apostle Paul. It's writing to the redeemed in Rome. Watch the deacon. Can I teach that God gave it to them? I love this because there are Christians in Rome.
Yes, sir.
Now, we know the book of Rome because we have been taught the book of Romans is the most extensive theological treatise in all of Scripture. That's cool. Let's remember this, y'all. That in the theology, it's the most extensive in theology. Remember this. I want to slow it down, Lord. Theology, to be right, can never be divorced, watch this now, from the social, economic, and political context in which you find it.
Mm-hmm.
That means when you're studying the Word of God, you have to take the whole context. Don't you pull one scripture out of a clock and try to pull it on me.
Yes, sir.
Let me know that you know what you're talking about, but let me know the context, the environment, the economic status of who said it, why they said it, and then tell them why you got your meaning from it. Then let me know that you've been in the book.
Yes, sir.
So much of what you read in Romans, Christians in Rome could relate to it.
Yeah.
Because Paul subversely is preaching to them a message of liberation in spite of the empire and oppression they find themselves under their own. Mm-hmm. Watch this. You do know there's two types of theology, don't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, neither was a new guy to talk about. Here we go again. You got imperial or empire theology. This type of theology upholds the empire. It crowns the greedy and crushes the needy.
Well.
It's the theology of these right-wing evangelicals like, yeah, I'm going to mess y'all up. It's on Facebook. Paula White, Jerry Falwell Jr., and Robert Jeffries.
Yes.
They used to support family values. Now they support number 45 in office.
Yes, sir.
Who has put our nation in a Trump hole. When you support this type of theology, you do not side with the God of the Bible, who stands up for people who have been oppressed and marginalized.
All right.
That's the God of the Bible. God is always judging a nation. Watch me, church. America, be very careful. God is always judging a nation by what it does to the least of these. You think I'm not the book? Jesus says in the judgment, I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats. That's the nations. Jesus said, I was hungry and you cut food stamps. I was thirsty and you poisoned the water in Flint, Michigan.
Yep. Yes, sir.
I was a stranger and you talked about building a wall.
Amen.
Jesus said, I'm getting ready to send you to hell.
Amen.
America then says, Lord, how did we do this? When did we do this?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, much as you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are doing it unto me.
Yes, sir.
That is empire and imperial theology.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
But thank Jesus for Paul.
Mm-hmm.
He is writing to the redeemed in Rome.
Yes, sir.
I'm not writing empire theology, Paul says. I'm giving you the theology of the God who will stand by your side and give you strength in the midst of Roman oppression. You think I'm taking this up, making this up? Look what Paul says at the beginning of the book. Paul says at the beginning of the book, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Didn't he say that?
Yes, he did.
Why is your pastor trying to bring this to your attention? Because we have watered down the meaning of the word gospel.
Okay.
The word gospel was first used in the Babylonian age, when Babylon was the dominant power in the world.
Yeah.
As a consequence, Paul is referencing the book of Isaiah, because in Isaiah, he is talking about the gospel and how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. The gospel, good tidings from afar. Here you go. New Jerusalem, the original meaning of the word gospel was used when there was a war going on.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
I know y'all getting tired of me.
No, it's all right.
They had runners at the front line.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
The runner was watching the battle to see who was going to win. Whenever Babylon got ready to lose, the runner got excited. Started running back up and down the hills. Running back to Persia. Gave the news to Persia. Babylon is defeated. We are winning. That was gospel. Why? Babylon was oppressing Judah, God's people. When they lost, that meant they no longer would oppress Judah. That was the gospel, because God had used someone, watch this, that did not know God in order to bring Babylon down. Remember, Persia was not a God's people. God will do what he got to do to turn your circumstances and situation around. He don't care who he used to do it. Everything bows to God. All powers. Don't you turn your nose up at anybody, because you don't never know who God or how God going to bless you. That's good news, because the gospel is about setting people free and healing people that are broken. Watch me, Sister Mumford, Pastor India. I don't know about you, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel because the gospel will set you free. Amen. I'm loving this thing, so let me get you to chapter 8 since y'all think I'm not in the book. Paul is talking about life in the Spirit. This is going to mess you up because once the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, it is a power, y'all watch me, that gives you strength to live life victoriously. No matter what you're going through. Because in chapter 7, Paul testifies transparently about his own flaws and faults. He said, when I would do good, evil is always present. But he shifts gears in chapter 8. Therefore, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Bible readers know that chapter 8 is about life in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to make it real plain. I'm going to make it real plain to y'all because y'all getting tired of me. Y'all see this here? This was a gift to me from Sister Marshall. This is my sweat rag.
Yes, sir.
It's my sweat rag.
That's right.
It's mine.
Yours.
I had to buy it, but it's mine.
That's right.
The purpose of this sweat rag was given to me, and the purpose of it, Orlando, watch this now. Watch, Pastor. To wipe the sweat off my brow when I begin to sweat up here.
All right.
I'm going to take this sweat rag and leave it right here, deeply. Put it right here. Even got my name. She got fancy, but that's the name.
Yes, watch that. All right.
Look good. No one else wipe their sweat from my rag. Now I can leave it there and I begin to sweat, Sister Thomas. And I can say that I sweat rag, get up, and wipe past the face. Now I want y'all to know, if that sweat rag, get up, I'm running.
Come in. Come in. Yes, sir. You ain't the only one getting out of here. Go ahead, help going to that door.
But Sister Morrison, if I put my hand on it, if I put my hand on it,
yes,
and bring it up to my face,
yes, sir.
Put my hand in it,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It then performs and does what it was created to do.
Yes, sir.
Oh, y'all ain't feeling me on the
phone.
Once the Holy Spirit, ordered by God, puts his hand on you.
Yes, sir.
And gets on the inside of you.
Yes, sir.
You then can perform and do what you are called to do. Did I make it plain for you? Because y'all looking at me like y'all won't get it. Help me, that's the Holy Ghost. Paul said there's no condemnation.
Yes, sir.
But Paul messes up when he messes up me up. When he gets to verse 26, Paul says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness.
Yes.
I am in New Jerusalem. This church has some Bible readers in here.
Amen.
That attend Bible study. I knew that I had to come here prepared today.
Yes, sir.
All right. I got Dr. Orlando Lyles down. I'm going to tell you about him later. I knew I had to do my homework today because he's sitting back there.
All right. Yes, sir.
Can I get a witness in here?
Amen.
So etymologically, I had to unpack the word weakness. The word weakness is in the original Greek language has to do, watch this now, with being broken. Internally, being bruised, being so weakened by what you've been through that you are too broken to do anything about it.
Alright. Yes, sir.
Here's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, helps us when we are scarred.
Yes.
When we have scars behind the mask.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you one more time what you got going on behind your mask. When you know the Lord for yourself, the Holy Ghost gets behind your mask. I'm almost done, y'all. I know y'all tired of passing, but I have to tell y'all. Take off your mask. Let God work on you. When you know the Lord for yourself, the Holy Ghost gets behind your mask and begins to minister to the wounds and heal the scars behind your mask.
All right.
That's why God rose me up this morning, told me to report to this church where the word is powerful and the worship is passionate.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost is in the house, and as a matter of fact, the doctor is making some house calls.
All right.
Can I get a witness up here? He's dealing with the scars and the wounds behind the mask. So how is it? Well, the Holy Ghost serves like a nurse. Mm-hmm. Watch this now. To aid the doctor, who is Jesus.
Amen.
Can I get a witness in here? The attendant physician is the Lord himself.
Amen.
Helping us in our lives, but especially with our prayer life.
Yeah.
The spirit, I can hang out right there. In the word pneumo, it means pneumo, means only, means one, means the wind. Mm-hmm. Talking about the spirit of God. Mm-hmm. The spirit of God rushes in on us. Mm-hmm. Once we put down our guard and take off our mask, the spirit of God rushes in on us like a rushing mighty wind and immediately goes to where we're hurting at.
Yeah.
Even though we're praying, we don't know how to pray to fix what we're going through, because we don't know what we're going through, where it came from. Mm-hmm. So the Spirit of God deals with our infirmity.
Yes. Yes.
And makes intercession for us. Yes. That's why Grandma used to say, when you moan, the devil don't know what you're talking about. So when you moan, you allow the Spirit of God to take over your prayer life.
Yes.
And utter utterance that the devil don't understand. It's a heavenly language.
Yes. Yes.
The Holy Spirit's a helper.
Yes,
that's why Jesus said, I'm about to go back.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And he said, I'm about to go back. He said, if I don't come go back, he said, you won't get a helper.
Yes,
he said, I'm going to send you another comforter.
Yes, sir. That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. I said, this is what you mean. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you a paraclete.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to unpack that word, because why did he say paraclete, Deacon Larry? The word para means that when you paraphrase something,
yes,
to break it down better so that the person that you're talking to can understand what you're talking to. Well, y'all ain't getting me.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
What you say? Para means just like a paramedic. Oh, there's no word. That means that the paraclete, cleat means my helper. He gonna send a para. He'll send a paramedic to me if my body's in and I'm in emergency condition. And if I'm hurting, the doctor knows what's wrong with me. Jesus said, I send my paramedic, the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And to work on your knees, your back, your sugar diabetes, your arty, whatever you got doing.
Yes.
I send a para in there. He said, you might need a lawyer. I send my paralegal.
All right.
It'd be a lawyer in a courtroom for you.
Yes.
He said, they think you got you convicted. He said, well, I already set you free.
Yes, sir.
It makes it firmly, but you got to take off your mask.
Uh-huh.
You want to hide behind your mask. And act like you smart, something that you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And all the meantime, you bleeding behind the mask.
Yeah.
Guess what? Get yourself delivered from people. Don't worry what they think. Take your mask down. And guess what? You can take your mask down without us knowing you got your mask off.
Wow.
Wow.
What's the scripture I read when we get before this table here? Let a man examine himself.
Yeah.
So as you examine yourself, you will not be judged by God. God will know when you put your guard down.
Wow.
He'll come in and help you. We don't have to go through the stuff behind the mat. This is an easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
We making it hard.
Well.
Cause we trying to put it on the app. Am I right about it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm gonna let y'all go. Cause y'all too quiet. I know y'all want me to make y'all jump on the bed. But I know what? Y'all need to just be free. Including me.
Amen.
We need to be free.
Amen.
The gospel is a freeing thing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Who God has set free, you're free indeed.
Uh-huh.
Don't go back. And if you're free, don't go back. Don't let anybody take you back to what God has set you free.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Once he sets you free, keep running, y'all. Set you free, keep moving.